am who watered it. And that's when he came to know Christ, at that service, planting seeds. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who brought the increase. And we need to understand that. You need to understand that as a follower of Jesus. People will come into your life, and you know, when you're talking about evangelism, just plant the seed. Don't worry about the water. Don't worry about it growing. Just plant the seed. Jesus, be faithful in planting seeds and watch God water it in people's lives. There's some things here that Levi did that I want to pull out here today, and I think it will bless you and help you reach people for Jesus. I really do. And I believe if Levi were standing here today, he would say, listen, friends, I've been down this road. I've done this. Let me give you a few pointers, a few tips. I can assure you, this is a few of the reasons why I threw this party. I believe if Levi were standing here in your notes, I believe if Levi were standing here today, number one, I believe with all my heart, he would begin by saying, evangelize with your own example or by your own example. Start evangelizing with your own life's example. In verse 27, the Bible says that Levi got up, left everything behind, and began to follow Jesus. Let your life be the reflection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let your life be it. Your life. Your example. Let that be the gospel. Jesus said, you're the salt of the and the light of the world. You cannot call people to a faith that you don't own and live by example yourself. How many of you know that? You can't do it. You can't do it. The whole cliche of do what I say and not as I do, right? It doesn't work when we're talking about evangelism. It doesn't work that way. People will come to know Christ simply by looking in your life. The idea of us, you know, opening our doors and inviting people to come to Christ here in this church. Listen, I guarantee it, they're going to come into this church because they see it in you first. If they don't see it in you first, they're not going to come through these doors. It's true. It's true. The most effective way to evangelize and to reach other people is in our testimony. When they see your complete abandonment for Jesus, and they say to themselves, I got to have what you have. Because it's a whole lot better than what I got right now. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, I got to have what you have in your life. What is it that you have in your life that I need? Say, it's Jesus. I'm living my life. Am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. But it's Jesus. There's a flip side to that coin too. And I don't want to be negative here at all. So I'm going to be quick and move on. But there's a flip side to this. When people look in your life, and they constantly see you mumbling. They constantly see you complaining. And your face never cracks a smile. And you're always down. And you're always depressed. And you're always... You know, they're going to look at you and say, I don't want what you have. If Jesus looks like that, I don't want Jesus. Right? How many of you know that's true? It's true. We got to... And footnote, we have to be very, very cognizant of how we are portraying Jesus in our lives. We have to be aware of how are we portraying Jesus Christ in our lives. It's true. In your notes, Joe Aldrich in his book, in Lifestyle Evangelism, Christians are to be the good news before they share the good news. Christians are to be the good news before they share the good news. Many people who are seeking truth, this is so important. Please listen to me carefully. Many people who are seeking truth, looking to the church, you and me, weighing or whether or not they want to come to Christ, do you know they often make their decisions simply, and I said it before, by looking at other Christians they know. In your notes, Levi would say, when evangelizing here with your own example, be authentic. Be authentic. You can write that in. Be real. Everybody say, be real. Be real. Be authentic. Levi was a tax collector before he met Christ. Even after he met Christ, he didn't pretend to be somebody he was not. He still had tax collecting buddies he was associated with, but he invited Jesus into his very pagan lifestyle. He could have left and joined the synagogue or wore a white robe. He could have became a monk saying, I have found Christ, right? But Levi didn't do that. He went after his own tax collecting buddies and said, look, we're going to throw a party. And my life is going to be an example, and I'm going to be real, I'm going to be authentic. I can't help but think that he knew there would be no hope to reach his colleagues for Jesus if he didn't let them see that he was still Levi. Even Jesus, if you think about the resurrected Jesus from the grave, he came back to Thomas and said, right, touch me so you know that I'm still Jesus, I'm still real. After Jesus' transformation, he didn't sit up in the clouds afar off, right, saying to everybody, if you want to see me, you need to come up and rise to my spiritual vertigo. Come hither thou. No, he spent about 40 days meeting with people, making himself known, making himself real to his disciples, letting him know, yes, I'm transformed, but it's still me. It's important in your relationships with other people that if you have Jesus, you're still a real person. Don't come across as more than what you are. Don't come across, and this is huge, people are looking for this. Don't come across as somebody who has arrived. Because when people look at you, they are like a doubting Thomas looking at the resurrected Jesus, looking for one thing in your life. One thing. Not how well you know the Bible. Not how much you have of this. They're looking for one thing. Substance. Authenticity. What you profess on the outside, is it really happening on the inside? That's what they're looking for. Just a thought. People can tell a difference. The difference a mile away. They can sniff out what is real and what is not real, right? And what they smell determines whether or not they're going to be attracted or they're going to be repelled. Lack of authenticity among the ranks of those claiming to be Christians can become an almost insurmountable barrier to belief. Lack of authenticity. People want to know that what you say you have in your life is for real. I want to encourage you, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to know the Romans Road or the Sinner's Prayer or dispensationalism or eschatology or apologetics or homiletics or any other type of edicts to come to people to bring them into Jesus Christ. It's important that you have a foundation, yes, but initially people are looking for authenticity in you. They're looking for substance. Don't project the image that you got your stuff together when you don't. Trust me, as pastors, this is a hard hurdle for me. Don't project the image. Sometimes I have to take the coat off, take the tie off, and be real with people, right? I can't be sitting up here just saying, look at how spiritual I am. Sometimes I have to show humanity, because guess what? I am a human, and I fall too. Hey, this is kind of different. I'm down here with you guys. Hi. Don't project yourself to be more than you are. There's a story in the Gulf War, there's a story, and I don't know if this is true or not, okay, but listen to this. There's a story of a colonel who was reassigned to a post, and he wanted to show other people that he had authority, and he had the stuff, and you need to listen. I'm the colonel, you're the private, you need to listen. Well, one day when he was setting up his office, he saw a private walking down the hallway into his office, and the private was holding a toolbox. And quickly, the colonel turned around and he picked up the phone and started talking. Yes, yes, General Schwarzkopf, yes, yes. Thank you for checking with me, right? Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with you. Yes, yes, you have my full support, Norm. Okay, we'll talk to you next week. Okay, all right, bye-bye. And he hung up the phone. And he turned as a colonel. He said, Private, what do you want? And the private said, Sir, I was just sent here to hook up your phone. Don't project an image when you don't have it. It's okay to be authentic, even when you take the mask off. It's okay. Friends, I'm telling you, irreligious people, people that are in the world, they are looking for substance. They are looking for authenticity. It's a fact. It's a fact. So Levi, if he were standing here today, that's what he would say. He was real. He was a tax collector. Even after he met Jesus, Jesus came into his pagan lifestyle and he threw a party with other tax collectors. Wow. Wow. On the way to church, you know, somebody asked, how you doing? Don't say, I'm fine, I can't talk to you. I'm on my way to church, right? Be authentic. Stop. Be real with them. Let them know that they are more important than where you're going. The world is looking for authenticity. Simply looking at your lifestyle. The number one way you can become, in your notes, the number one way you can become authentic is what you say matches what you do, right? If you say something to somebody and you do something else, red flags will go up and they will never believe. So here, application, what can I do with this? When evangelizing, Be authentic. Be authentic emotionally. That's number one. These are just practical, okay? This is practical. Be authentic with your emotions. A few weeks ago, we had dinner with some people. We invited some people over, and they're going to get a kick out of this. Here comes the red couch story, okay? We Rebecca and I just bought a really nice red couch literally 30 minutes before these people showed up. And it wasn't for the people, but hey, we said, you know what? Well, let's let them break the couch in and enjoy the couch and things like that. So we brought a really nice, expensive couch, and as we were moving it in, guess what? It hit the corner of the garage in the back. Nice microfiber suede hit the corner and rip right there in the back of the couch. I mean, we didn't even get it in the door, and there's already a rip. We haven't had it for 10 minutes, and there's a rip in the couch. And let me tell you, I was ticked off. I was upset. I was really angry, right, Rebecca? I was mad, okay? And I knew people were coming over in about 10 minutes, and sure enough, they did. And I had a choice. I said, well, okay, I either need to put on the... Or I need to be real and tell them, man, I'm angry. I'm upset. And if you remember, the first people who came, I told them, how you doing? I'm fine. Come on in. You know? Come in. Enjoy the meal. Sit. Eat. Let's go. Somebody actually came up after me and said, after the dinner, and said, you know, Jeff, I appreciate the fact that you told us that you were angry. You didn't pretend like everything was good and praise the Lord, glory to God. No, you were troubled. I know it was about a red couch, but still, be authentic in your emotions. You have permission, and people want you, you know, there's something wrong when you go into a hospital room and a father loses his 18-year-old boy to a car accident, and he turns around and he just says, praise the Lord, God is good, you know, all is well, things are doing fine. No, that's not real. You can be real. Something's wrong there. Be real in your emotions. If you're hurt, let people know you're hurt. If you're angry, let people know you're angry, even if it's over a red couch. If you're troubled in your spirit, let them know. Take the mask off. People are looking for it. Amen. Number two, be authentic with your identity. Don't pretend to be somebody you're not. You know, you don't have to change. Okay, here we go. Here we go. It's going to get quiet. You don't have to change how you look to come to church. Okay? You don't. Jesus, God says he weighs the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. He wants to know, are you real? So be authentic in your identity. Christianity isn't about getting people into the church, cutting their hair, wearing a collar, look this way, act this way, talk this way. It's not about that at all. That's called cloned religion. And that's not Jesus. Be who God has called you to be in your identity. Be who you are. Don't change to be like somebody else. Be who you are. And your evangelistic efforts will become more effective with other people when you're secure in yourself and not trying to be like somebody else. Number three, be authentic with your confession. If you screwed up, admit it. Don't make excuses to try to cover up. That's not going to win anybody to Jesus. I assure you, when you apologize and say, you know, Tom, what I said to you just 10 minutes ago, that was a lie, and I'm sorry. You know, I didn't tell you the full truth. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I follow Jesus, but, you know, I need grace too. And I lied, and I'm sorry. Forgive me. Do you know Tom will respect that more than if you tried to hide it as a Christian? He would respect you more saying that you messed up. Just yesterday, I had a person come up to me and say, you know, what I said to you 3 weeks ago, it wasn't true. I kind of told you a half-truth, a lie, and I'm sorry. You know, I have more respect for that person now. I really do. I say to myself, you know, that person is authentically living for Jesus because he admitted his, and he confessed his faults. Number four there, be authentic in your conviction. In your conviction. As a Christian, don't be wishy-washy on your faith in Jesus Christ. You either believe it or you don't. You either believe that the Bible is true and that it's the Word of God or you don't, right? There's no gray areas in there. You either believe it or you don't believe it. We're real good at praying in our house around the table before a meal. But when we go to restaurants and other people are looking at us, well, Look around, right? Be authentic. Be sincere in your conviction. Pray before the Lord, before other people in the restaurant. Let people know, yeah, you do pray. They will respect you for it. It will capture their attention. It will capture their attention. I saw a man do this at Costco over pizza one time. Couldn't believe it. Man, I don't know why he couldn't believe it. He told his kids, he had three boys, and he was sitting here, and it was just packed with people. You know, the Costco lines are just packed with those, especially at the pizza and the hot dogs and everything. And he's just sitting there, and he says, boys, we're going to pray, and let's pray. And amongst all the whole crowd, he just stopped and prayed with his boys right there. And me standing, you know, 30 feet away, saw that, and I was drawn to it. I was just drawn to it. Oh, that's authenticity. Be authentic in your conviction. Your neighbor who might be investigating Christianity doesn't expect perfection from you. They're too smart to know that the human race, especially Christians, are not perfect. What they do hope to find is someone with courage to confess their mistakes, their humanity, and confess and have the guts to make things right. If Levi were standing here today, I believe he would say, do you want to influence other people for Jesus? Be authentic. Be real. Be real. How did he do it? He dropped everything, and he began to follow Jesus with his life, and he threw a party, and he invited other real people to it. Wow. If Levi were here today, number two, he would say, this is where I really start to get excited. This is where he would say, target people you already know. Target people you already know when you're evangelizing. Verse 29, and Levi gave a big reception for him in his house. And there was a great crowd of what? Church? Tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with him. Notice, Levi didn't go after other people. Levi didn't go door to door trying to convince other people of this faith that he had. Levi didn't go to Samaria or the inner streets of Jerusalem. He threw a party, and who did he invite? Other tax collectors, his colleagues, his friends, his inner circle. This is a big myth that you need to expose when you're thinking about evangelism. I did. I was blown away. Wow, you mean evangelism's not about necessarily going door to door and reaching people, that daunting task of reaching people we don't know? Let me tell you about Jesus. Okay, I'm scared, right? No. Associate with your coworkers, your neighbors. Associate with your friends. Associate with your family. People that already know you. Go after them. Go after people you already know. This is what Levi did. Levi understood this was the best way. I can imagine Levi sitting thinking, who can I tell others about this man I just met, Jesus? Who can I tell? Who can I tell? Ah, my other friends. Many people were introduced to Christ that day, because Levi invited people or targeted people he already knew. Youth, I have a story for you, young people, and this anybody can really listen to this. 1999, as a youth minister, Rebecca and I in Long Beach, California, and our youth group was, it was okay. I mean, we had a few people, and it was good, and I love those kids, Daniel, and I remember all of them, Sandra, and all those other kids. There was a guy, a young man, who came into our youth group. His name was Travis. I'm not going to use his last name. His name is Travis. He was a big guy. He was as big as I am right now, but at 15 years old. Yeah, a big dude. And he came in, and he looked roughed up. He looked very unchurched, right? And he walked in, and the youth staff began to just surround him and love on him. The youth staff just began to hang out with him a little bit. And I remember we took him fishing before introducing him to Jesus. Do you know that? We took him to, and it didn't turn out that good. He got sick the whole time. But we took him fishing, and then we introduced him to Jesus. And Travis, when he got a hold of Jesus Christ, he finally accepted the Lord in March of 2000. Do you remember this? He accepted Christ, and we were stoked. I mean, we were excited for Travis. Travis got so excited about God, he went to go tell other people about Jesus. Do you know who he told? His family. He didn't go to campus. He didn't take a stand on campus or stand on a flagpole. He didn't do all these other things. He just went to his family members. And he went home and he talked to his brother Tommy. And Tommy, who had a lot of influence, came to church and he found Jesus. Two people in a family found Jesus because Travis simply went home. Between the two of those guys, the two brothers, you know how many people they brought into the youth group, the two of them? Get this, I'm no joke, I can name them by name. 37 people came to youth group because of those two brothers. Tommy went back home and said, "Mom, guess what? I found Jesus." "You need Jesus, Mom. Your divorce that you just went through, Jesus can help you in your divorce." Vicky came to church, gave her life over to Christ, Easter Sunday, 2001. The entire family, the entire whole household came to know Jesus Christ because of Travis, who didn't go to the campus, who didn't go to other, he just simply went home and told people he already knew. Wow. In your evangelistic efforts, you don't have to go to people you don't know. Go to people you do know. Minister to them. Be authentic, be real, and let God water the seed, okay? Let God water the seed. Number three, and we're going to close with this one. Number three. If Levi were standing here today, I believe he would say this with all of his heart. I believe he would say, use an approach that people can relate to. Use an approach that people can relate to. Verse 29, then Levi held a great banquet, or a reception, or a party. That was his approach for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors came. One strategy would be to bring his tax collecting colleagues to the temple, right? To hear someone who was more articulate in explaining spiritual truth. Another option would be to invite them in and have a robed rabbi reading Old Testament truth to them. Didn't take long for Levi to realize that that approach probably wouldn't work with his tax collector buddies, right? He could have taken them to the hillside where Jesus was ministering and teaching, but Jesus' schedule was obviously very unpredictable, right? And it wouldn't probably reach the tax collectors who were trying to, you know, get money off of people to go out to a mountainside and listen to Jesus talk. No. So Levi thought, how can I get my tax collectors to find Jesus and to introduce them to what I have? He threw a party. That was his approach. He threw a party. And he invited Jesus into the party and the disciples as well. You need to think, when you're evangelizing, you need to think of the approach that you're using. Okay, hello. You need to think of the approach that you are using when reaching other people for Jesus. Coming to church might not be the best approach. Did he just say coming to? Yeah, I just said it, right? As the pastor of the church, I'm saying bringing people into Richmond might not be the best approach for the person you're trying to reach. Can I say that? Is that okay? I mean, is it just me? I mean, that's true. Do the people need church? Yes. And please, I'm not talking about not needing church. We need church. It's a very biblical commandment to go and attend, to be in fellowship with other believers. But it might not be the best approach. And I give you permission, when you're thinking about your buddies and you're thinking about your coworkers, if you don't think that this church will reach out to them and that they will find Jesus with what we can offer in ministry, don't bring them to Richmond. I give you permission. Don't bring them to Richmond. Think of another approach to reach them for Jesus. We're trying to reach them for Jesus, not a church. Not a church. Levi could have very well said, though, well, there's no good options here to introduce my coworkers, so just forget it. I'll let them fend for themselves. No, Levi didn't do that. Levi was smart. He was an analyzer and a thinker. He said, I'll use an approach that my tax collecting buddies can relate to. And tax collectors can relate, at least back in those days, to a party. And the bigger the party, the better. The more money, the better, the grander. They can relate to a party. And he said, that's the approach, and I'll invite Jesus and the disciples and throw a party. Wow. Think of the approach that you're trying to use in your evangelistic efforts. In your notes, effective evangelism uses the right approach at the right time with the right people. That's effective evangelism. You guys remember, men, do you remember yesterday, Chuck from the association, he said that he brought somebody to church and he just got him there. He was a chain smoker, drinking tons of alcohol, and somebody plopped a big old Bible in front of him and said, You're going to need that. Oh, man, and Chuck just, oh, no, this is not the approach that we take. Think of the approach. The right approach at the right time with the right people equals effective evangelism. There in your notes, God, there's a quote that Bill Hybels says, God has custom designed you with your unique combination of personality, temperament, talents, and background. And he wants you to harness and use these in his mission to reach this messed up world. You know, Jesus himself used different approaches when dealing with different people to call them to himself. He used a different approach with Levi. He used a different approach with the Samaritan woman. He used a different approach with Zacchaeus, with Peter. There's a variety of approaches, and we're going to go through these kind of quick, and then I'll end. The Apostle Paul used the intellectual approach. Paul could precisely articulate and defend Christianity with the best of them. Do you know that? He wrote the majority of the New Testament. He wrote Romans. He wrote it. I have trouble just comprehending what Romans is saying. And here, he wrote it from the top of his mind, right? He was a very intellectual man who thought in deep levels. He was responsible for those books. Acts 17, he walked through Athens and he headed right for the synagogue to begin spiritual conversations with the wisest philosophers and scholars, saying, let's talk about what you're teaching. Because what you're teaching, philosophers, is wrong. And let's talk about Christianity. And he would go step by step by step and expose and defend the Christian faith. Paul was an intellectual evangelist. He could reach the mind. Do you know, many people think that when you're evangelizing, you have to intellectually defend everything in here. And did you know that's one aspect of evangelism? It is. Don't let that discourage you and intimidate you. It is good if you do know what this book says. Don't get me wrong. It is good if you do know a plan of salvation or what to direct people to when they're turning to Christ. But you don't have to know eschatology and all of the other teachings in this word to effectively just connect with somebody. That's one approach, is the intellectual approach. Now, if you are an intellectual person, stay within that approach. Look for people that can connect with you on this approach. I am not, and I'm going to go through here in a little bit and tell you what I am, but intellectually, if somebody were to come up to me and try to win me over with Jehovah Witness or a Mormon or something like that, do you know the intellectual approach would not work with me? Wouldn't work with me. Because I don't get all excited about the intellectual deeper stuff, you know. That's just not who I am, you know. Don't blame me, and I'm not blaming you. It's just not who I am. Number two, another approach is the service approach. Dorcas used this, also known as Tabitha. Dorcas was a woman who the Bible says was abounding in deeds and acts of kindness and love. I can imagine Dorcas serving others and dropping off food and cleaning houses for free and babysitting for her neighbors. The Bible says she was a servant that abounded in kind works. That's another approach, is servanthood. Be a servant to somebody else. She was such an important lady that when she became sick and died, Peter went over to her and said, no, you're not done. And she raised her. He raised her from the dead. Obviously, the power of Christ did, but he was the catalyst. I can imagine Tabitha or Dorcas being raised from the dead and looking around and saying, does everybody have water? Do you need something to drink? You know, that's another approach, is the service approach. This is a very effective way to reach people, is by serving them. By serving them. We have a couple over here behind us. That's the approach Rebecca and I are using. It's just being a servant to them, you know. I'm not going to beat them over the head with the Bible. I just want to serve them. We'll just serve them. You can use my truck. I'll help you, whatever. Cut wood. So that's another approach. There's a saying that says, preach the gospel, and if you have to, use words. Right? Number three, Peter used the confrontational approach. He was a confrontational person. Acts 2, he was the one who stood up in front of all the people and said, men of Jerusalem and Judea, you killed Jesus. You need to repent. Peter was the one when Jesus was arrested or was going to be taken, remember? Took it out, cut off a soldier's ear. Peter was a confrontational person. Ananias and Sapphira, why did you hold back part of your property and your possessions? Because you did, you're going to drop to the ground, and before he was done, they died. Peter's approach to evangelism was very confrontational. Not everybody is like that. You don't have to get the guts to go confront people to win them to Jesus. Let the gospel be the confrontation. It'll confront them. But you don't have to take that approach, unless that is your approach. Did you know that this pastor right here that you're looking at, I lean a little more to the confrontational approach? You need Jesus. You need Jesus. And I actually did with Travis. I said, Travis, you're living a life and you're going to be going to hell if you don't turn around. I don't know if that just scared him or if, you know, God used that, or I'm more of a confrontational type of an evangelist. That just comes naturally to me. But I definitely don't expect everybody else to do it. All right, Levi there used the interpersonal approach. Did I skip one? The blind man used the testimony approach. Testimony. Share your testimony. The blind man said in chapter 9 of John, verse 25, one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Sometimes you can't explain your faith perfectly. That's okay. You can say, one thing I do know, I was this way before Jesus, and now I'm this way now with Jesus. Look at my life. I am a testimony of Jesus Christ. If that's you, that's your approach. And finally, Levi used the interpersonal approach. Levi associated with people he already knew. He stayed with his friends and targeted them. This was his interpersonal approach. Whether you use the intellectual approach, the service approach, the confrontational approach, the testimonial approach, the interpersonal approach, the point is that there are different approaches to evangelism, friends. There's different approaches, right? Pastor Ron, there are. There's different approaches. The approach you use should really depend on the person you're trying to reach. Amen. You might have to pull in somebody else, just like Levi inviting Jesus and the disciples. You might have to pull in some other people to help you, but the approach should be determined by the person you're trying to reach. And guess what? You don't have to have the gold award that says, I brought people to Jesus. Have somebody else do it. I hope this is practical. I hope this is helping you and you're able to take some of these principles home with you and look at this story more of evangelism. There, and we're done, okay? In your application, what can I do with this? Here's what you can do. Here's your homework. Identify your natural approach. Identify it. What is an approach that works for you? Is it dirt bike riding, James? Take people dirt bike riding. Is it cooking meals? Other people I'm looking at? Cook meals. Is it confrontation? Fine, do it. Good luck. You know. Is it interpersonal? Hey, let's just hang out and bring people to Jesus and we'll invite our non-religious friends and some of our religious friends and just see what happens. Let God just do stuff. Wow, that's an interpersonal approach. Find, identify the approach that is your natural approach. Number two is filter the majority of your evangelism through your natural approach. Stay with what you know. Do what you do best. Stick with it. God has designed you and He has crafted you and He has created you to do that. Stick with it. The majority of your effectiveness will be determined by your natural approach. And finally, study and improve on other approaches. You need to improve on other approaches. And as a pastor, it's kind of difficult for, you know, it's kind of difficult because, and the people that are pastors understand this, you know, you get all kinds of different people coming through the doors and you're called to reach people, and I kind of have to have a little bit of every approach, and that's difficult for me. A lot of things are going against me, and one is my age. Even though I'm 30 today, thank you very much. Yeah, woohoo. I'm still a young chicken, right? I still don't have all the experience of some of these guys that have 25 and 30 and 35 and 40 years experience. I don't have it. So I got to find other approaches to work and to minister to people. If somebody walks in and they want the intellectual approach, you know, and they want to defend faith and they want me to articulate everything that Paul can, I'm telling you, hey, I'm not the person right now to do that, okay? But I'm going to invite somebody else in. You know, and I'm going to embarrass you, Joel, if that's okay. Joel, come up here real quick, man. Is that all right? I know. Come on up. How are you?
Good.
I'm good. Do you know, I have grown to love this guy. Do you know that? That, you know, meaning I could tell right off the bat. He took me to a really good restaurant, Noho's on Clinton down there. Yeah. Took me really, and I said, I like this guy. He's good. Do you know that Joel and I are radically different? But many times in churches, pastors can compete with each other instead of, and we didn't do that, praise the Lord, we're not doing that. But he leans more, and I don't want to embarrass you, he leans more with the intellectual approach of evangelism. He can really articulate and defend some things in the Word of God that make me just go, wow, teach me, Joel, teach me, you know? And there's some things that I have that he can learn, and we're learning from each other. We're learning from each other. Okay, this is getting kind of weird. Why don't you... Somebody walked in the doors, they could get a wrong picture of this church. Use the approach that works well with you, okay? Are we tracking? You following? Use the approach that works well with you. Stay within that flow of gifting, and then when trying to reach other people for Christ, whether they be, you know, whatever they are, think about the approach that's best going to work for them, and then go after it, and watch what God does. Watch what He does. Amen? Amen. Let's stand, and is it okay? I'll just close here, Glenna. Is that all right? I'll just close and pray. Close and pray. I know it's after 12. You know, I love you guys. You know that? I'm really growing to love this church. You know, I really am. And I sense a spirit of unity, you know, among us. I always have. And I'm grateful to call myself the pastor here of this church. So, praise the Lord. Let's pray. And I want to ask you to do something. You ready? Extend your hands out to me. If you feel comfortable, you don't have to. If you don't have to. Joel, come on up, man. Let's do it. You and me. Okay? If we're going to do it, we're going to go all the way, right? You bless this group, and I'll bless over here, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless your people, and the people bless us, and we ask, Lord, that you give us courage to effectively evangelize those people that need you. Remind us of this message. Remind us that there's different approaches. Remind us to be authentic and real. We are a fallen people, people that need grace. And Lord, I pray that the increase of evangelism will happen through our church, not so we can build the castle, Lord. We are building the kingdom of God. And I ask that that happens, Lord, even here at Richmond, if you want to bless us with people here at Richmond, Lord, bring them in. God, if we're not ready for it, then don't bring them in, Lord. And we want to be faithful with what you've given us. Father, I pray those people in this room, in this sanctuary that are walking and they're broken and they're hurting and they're troubled and they're vexed in their spirit, I ask, God, by the power of Jesus that you minister to them this week, Lord. Minister to them today. Let them know that you care. Encourage us. Lift our eyes to the heavens, to Jesus. Drive us to our knees because we are a people in need of you. So, Lord, we bless the people of God. Protect them. Fill them with your Spirit this week. As we leave here, let light just beam from our lives to our coworkers and our neighbors, the people we eat lunch with, the waitresses. We love you, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. All God's people say amen. 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 Thank you for staying a little longer. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.